Welcome to this presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
Stepping into an atmosphere like this, I need to adjust what I'm going to do. It's different. My approach is going to just change slightly. New folks, visitors, it's good to see you. Welcome. It's good to have you. If you're unfamiliar with what's happened, bear with us. It's all okay. I'm Chris. Just to clarify, no, I'm not the pastor. That would be Caleb. Just helping out. Thinking about what happened here and now, we've been so accustomed, if I can say it. We've grown up trusting our senses. That's how we've grown up in the world. That's how we've made it through this world. That's how we've made it through life. We're trusting in our senses. We're trusting in what we know. And it's helped us. But it can also hinder us. If you're trying to look at something different and you need to try and start moving differently in your life, those very things that helped us get through life can hinder us. There must be another level to life. There must be something else. 1 Corinthians 6:19, I believe, talking about us being the temple of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. I mean, that's another level. That's something else. And it's another realm to be able to move in. I mean, we experienced it this morning, right now. And believing that there is a God, believing that there is a Holy Spirit, we need to start thinking about approaching that realm, of thinking about moving in there. It's a struggle. I bet there were a few people struggling this morning when the opportunity was given and it was asked, if any Lord's laid anything on your heart, you have a word, you have a prayer. It's not easy. You're wrestling inside you. Is it wrong? Is it right? What do I do with this if you're not accustomed to it, if you're not practiced in it? It can be a struggle. Then again, let's take it another level. It's a struggle. In church, you're here. There's something on your mind. There's something in your heart you're not sure. Should I share it? What do I do with it? What about out there? What about in your workplace? What about life? It's supposed to happen there too. It's even a bigger struggle. Then everything goes out the window. It's nice here. You feel it's a protected atmosphere, but out there, it's different. It feels awkward. So much so that we often just don't even bother. Don't bother seeking God. Don't bother. Just get on with life. It's safe. It's what I know to do. Back home, back here, mind you, in the world as well, we need you. Everyone next to you, everyone around you needs you. But we need the original you. If you can think back before time, as it were, God created you. Okay, I'm not saying he made two of you. This is you. This is who you are. This is where you are. But originally, God created you before you were born, in the sense that he knew who you were going to be, what you were going to look like. He knew you were going to be in this day and age, in this time. He knew all that. But he saw something different than what most of us see here and now. He saw perfection. Galatians 2:20, I reckon, says again that I've been crucified with Christ, and the life I now live, I live in Christ. So that kind of differentiates, that kind of splits it a bit. Who God originally created is not necessarily what we see here today, what we see in the here and now. We're each acutely aware of our problems, of our hang-ups. We know all well what we struggle with. We know full well what's going on, what shouldn't be going on, thoughts, habits. We are fully aware of that. So, to me, that's not really the original creation. That's not really what God originally did. I'm going to fall over the step here. So if you think back, it's hard to imagine what you would have been like, what you should be like. It's hard to think, what's God's perfection in me? If think ahead a bit into heaven, what are you going to be like? What are you going to look like? You're going to have awesome hair, aren't you? You are going to be perfect. I don't hope they've got Instagram up there. We'll be flooding the place because we are going to look just amazing. I mean, some of us look amazing now as it is. But even that, if we had to think about heaven, what are you going to look like? What are you going to be like? You're still going to be you. You'll have the same character. You're still going to be who you are. You're not going to be some... never mind. You are going to be perfect in who you are. Minus all the issues. Minus all the hurts. We've come through life, some of us more than others, but life happens. We get dented, we get dinged, we get bashed up. Life happens. Try and survive in that. Having the truth that I've been crucified with Christ, that I can start living what he's got for me. I can start being who he originally created in that. If Paul was saying, I've been crucified with Christ, we've got Easter and everything that goes with it. That means Christ was crucified. And to us, that's a starting point. Realizing that we've been cut off from God in our sin, realizing that there's a problem, and realizing that we are at a detriment. We are at a problem. We have problems. We have hang-ups. We have issues. And to be able to get out of that, to be able to move out of that, to our starting point is to be able to accept that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that we can be free, that we can start being and moving into the original creation. We can start being the amazing man or woman, child that God originally created. That is incredible. But it's a starting point, and it's a journey from there. So we need you to be you. We need an original creation. We need you to flow in that. We need you to start moving in that, start living in that, start releasing it. We struggle a lot believing some of the stuff written in the Bible. There are some truths that are not a problem. We believe there is a God, hopefully. We believe that Jesus Christ died for us. We believe there is a Bible, and it's an inspired word of God. We just believe it. You can't prove anything in that sense. You can't prove there's a God. Scientifically, you could look at creation and go into all the DNA and stuff, but I can prove there's a Caleb. He's right there. I can't prove there's a God. I can feel the effects. I can experience his healing in my life, but I cannot, without a doubt, prove him. If I walk up to a sinner and say, "Do you believe in God?" What have I got to prove him? If I walk up to a man on the street and saying, "Have you seen this new latest phone?" and I have it in my hand, yeah, I've got it. It's evident. Can't do that with God. We believe it. How do we do that? God has promised he will never leave you nor forsake you. That is a promise. He cannot leave you nor forsake you. It doesn't always feel that way. We get times in life where it feels terrible. God feels distant. God feels nowhere near. You get those times in life. Why can't we believe what he's said? He can't break his promise. He cannot leave you. He just can't do it. You could turn your back on him. You could reject him and cut yourself off from him, but he can never leave you. Even someone who doesn't believe in God, he cannot leave that person. The second that person turns around and says, "God, I need you," he's there. He doesn't have to come across eons of space and light years away. He's there the instant anybody reaches out to him. He cannot leave you. It's just who he is. But it doesn't feel that way, does it? We struggle with it. So what to do? How do you cultivate that? How do you grow in that? How do you move on in life? God has a plan for you. He has a dream for you. With his original creation, there came a plan with it, a dream with it. And he would love for you to fulfill it, to walk in it, to do it, to be the person he created you to be, doing what he created you to do. That's why you've got the characteristics you have. That's why you've got the nature you have. You're good at certain things. You are equipped in certain ways. And we need you to be that and to do that which God has placed in your life and around you to flow in that. We all need that. The world out there needs that. Because God's going to reach the world out there through what you do, through who you are. Evangelism out there can be a scary thing. It can, I mean, we'd rather just not. It's a confrontation. You might get locked up. Like Greg was talking about, the rugby player, that can be detrimental. Be who you are. Be an original creation. Let God flow through you. If I've got the Holy Spirit within me, I've been crucified with Christ, the Holy Spirit within me, man, think about it. It's incredible. What can be achieved? I don't necessarily have to grab someone around the throat and try and convince them about God. Excuse me. Holy Spirit does that. If we can get to a place where you can release him in the sense that you can move with him, move with an anointing, it'll change the atmosphere around you. You'll be able to change an atmosphere and people are going to start thinking. Without getting too spiritual and too... There are spiritual atmospheres. I mean, we know that. Can be a meeting at work, it can be a conflict at home. You know, there's an atmosphere. There's just something that's wrong. It's not good. In the same sense, we can bring an atmosphere of love and power. It's just you carrying God within you. That is mind-blowing. That is incredible. I was going to use a prop, but I've just... that's not right now. It's just not going to work. Moving with him, getting to know him, getting to flow with him, being able to sense him and hear him and pick up, even out there, it's an incredible thing. If we can start moving in that, start practicing in that, start realizing that, you're not alone out there. It's just not possible. God is with you. God is in you. God is around you. That is just, it's truth. It's the way it is. It can't be any different. He's empowered you. He has made you who you are and given you what you need to do what you need to do. How do you manage that? How do you walk in that? How do you move in that? Don't stress too much about it. God has a plan for your life. He's got things he would like you to do. And he needs you to hear him, needs you to be sensitive to him so that you can start moving in that. What if you mess up? What if you do it wrong? I wouldn't worry too much about that. You've really messed up big time. Nobody's perfect. We've missed the mark many, many times. Come where you are, start where you are, and start learning. If I can just encourage that today. Start learning, start moving in that direction. Start thinking about it. There are small things you can do to trigger it. But start flowing in it, start moving in it. Christ in you, Christ in me, how big is he? It's incredible. We're not be limited to what we think. We throw limits onto everything. We just chuck the lid on and think it's not possible. Not through me. Through someone else we can relate. Yeah. Caleb is just super spiritual. He can. But me, electrician or mechanic or train driver, whatever, God can't use me. It can't. So wrong. God's created you amazingly. You're an amazing creation. It's just awesome. It's incredible. Walk in that. Believe it. It's true. You believe there is a God. You believe he never leaves you nor forsake you. Even though you can't always feel it, you don't always feel his presence. Doesn't always make sense. It's truth. He is truth, his love, his power. That is a fact. It can't change. If I can just give, we need to actually work at this, moving into a spiritual aspect, trying to trigger, trying to heighten a spiritual aspect where, in the sense that we start making contact with God. Start making contact with the Holy Spirit. As opposed to just thundering out through life without really being able to make contact, without really knowing how the day was. We get through the other side of the day, oh, shucks, I better read and pray just to close the day off, as it were. Can we change? It's going to take work. It doesn't just happen. By default, we know that. We struggle with that. We default back to life, back to what we believe, back to what we know. Our senses help us. We know the world around us. We know how to interact most of the time. Sometimes we get some surprises as well. But moving into a higher degree, a higher realm, it takes actually some work. It takes some effort. You're not just going to fall into it. And if we can start exercising it out there in real life, in real world, becomes easier here. because you start hearing, you start understanding. Yes, we are not really around to protect you. We've got an atmosphere and environment here that if there's a mistake, okay, we can help or whatever. If there's a mistake, let's move on. It's all right. But out there, can be different. So don't make any radical moves. Don't go and tell your boss to shove it because God says so. It may be a problem. Just take it down gently. Take it easy. The idea is to gradually just get to know him. You'll have a thought. You'll have something happen. And something small. Go make the boss a cup of coffee. Not radical. Go make mom a cup of coffee. That's radical. But yeah, start practicing. Start flowing in that. Now, my little prop was going to be a trigger. If you can use anything, I'm just going to make a suggestion. Every time you get your hands wet, stop and pray. Don't stop and pray for 3 hours. You may have a big water bill. All I'm saying is a trigger. You get your hands wet, just stop and think. Stop and start thinking about, just think about God. Think about his goodness. Think about something amazing that he is. Think about truths. I'm an awesome creation. The Holy Spirit resides within me. Just start meditating on that every time you get your hands wet. Every time you do the dishes, which is a problem. I hope you at least rinse the dishes to put them in the dishwasher. Who doesn't use a dishwasher in the 21st century? Stand there washing the dishes. You got lots of time to pray. anyway, but you wash your hands through the day. It's a simple little trigger. You don't have to use washing your hands. It's not super spiritual. It's not a recipe to success. It's not a $1 million recipe. It's just practical. Use something else. Every time you walk through a door, every time something that happens a lot through the day, use it. That it just triggers in your mind, and eventually that'll become a habit, and then take it a little further. We start thinking about God, pray and worship a bit, and then just stand back a bit and listen. You may get something, you may not. You may feel something, you may not. Just keep doing it. Eventually it becomes second nature, and eventually it flows. And you're able to go through your day amazingly, because we all have it, problems. We got things that come our way. We got curveballs. We got emotions. We got feelings, and people say things. People do things. To be able to be in that position where something happens and you can just back up and say, God, I need you, and then feel his presence, experience him, that just lifts you up and you can carry on in your day. You may have a big decision to make. Throughout the day, you can't suddenly stop and pray and go into a prayer closet and spend 3 hours. You've got to make the decision now. This machine is broken. It's a multi-million dollar plant. It's a small thing. I'm keeping up the whole plant. I need to be able to flow in that. Stand back. God, I need you. And then you've already practiced it. You've already done it a bit. And you're more into it. So just practically, if I can just encourage you, just use a trigger. Use something. I've given example of wet hands. Use anything. This is an example of the door as well. So that is about it in a nutshell. God has created you as an amazing individual, and we need that. We need that original creation. We need who God originally created you to be. We talk about the fruit of the Spirit be love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness. That's built in. It's there. It needs to come out. We need to hear the laughter God has placed within your life. We need to see the smile God has placed on your face. We need to experience your ideas. We need to experience the awesome plans that you have. God has placed within you a plan, a dream. We need to experience that. We need that. Okay. So I'll encourage you. Thanks, Amy. Call Mom. we need that. We need you. We need you to be free to accept the sacrifice that Christ has made for you as an ongoing, growing aspect, not just once off. It's something you start by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and then you grow from there. You'll grow until the day you lay your head down. You'll grow and change and become better, and smile becomes wider, and you become more peaceful, and you grow in it. All right, if I can just encourage you with that, let's close up. Father, thank you. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for creating us, Father. Thank you for believing in us, Lord. It's amazing. You believe in me. We struggle to believe in ourselves, Father God. We just lay that down, Lord. Lay that at your feet, Father God. We need you to empower us to be who you originally created us to be, Father God. We need you in everyday life, Father God. Help us. Come alongside us during the day, Father God. Our Lord, you've promised you'll never leave us nor forsake us, Lord. If we can just start realizing that, Lord, and believing it and receiving it, Father God. Thank you for that. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for never leaving us, Lord. Help us believe that, Father God. As we create our triggers, Father God, just help us, Lord. We can do what we need to do for you and because of you and through you, Father. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.